20 minutes after 4 o'clock, we remind you that guests of downtown are heard on the Tiller and Rye telephone line. Locally grown produce, local meats, natural foods, beer, wine, and more. Tiller and Rye, your local grocers. Corner of Main and Wilson Streets in Brewer. And on the Tiller and Rye telephone right now, it's Tim Britton of the Providence Journal. Tim, welcome back. How are you today?
Pretty good, Rich. How are you doing?
Well, good. We've made it to the All-Star break. Time to relax. Don't have to worry. A lot of years there's the pressure of staying up to make sure you see every Red Sox All-Star get in the game. But I guess the only question is, if Brock Holt gets in, which or how many positions will he actually play?
Right. You know, it's a question of balance there. You know, second, third, short. It could be in the outfield. How many at-bats does he get? I think the fear, if you're a Red Sox fan and you want to see Brock Holt, is that his versatility comes back to haunt him. And he's like that guy that's held back for extra innings. But I expect Ned Yost to be able to find some creative way to sneak him into the game tomorrow night.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how the first half of the season wrapped up yesterday. First of all, how is David Ortiz with this serious upper respiratory infection? Is his life in danger?
I don't think it's life-threatening. I also don't think used for early vacation, as some, I think, have suggested. Ortiz, you know, we saw Ortiz at the park early Sunday. They sent him home with the upper respiratory illness, how they described it. Some people think it's him fighting back. He doesn't want to play first base. I don't think there's anything like that to it. And I do think he's got a point that he, in terms of playing first base on a regular basis, he's 39 years old. He's, I think there's maybe one season in his career where he's played more than half the time at first base, and that was a lifetime ago in Minnesota. So I don't think that's really a viable option going forward, and I think Ortiz is right to be a little concerned about how his health would respond if he were playing on that regular basis in the field.
So what do they do at first base? Poor Mike Napoli. Finally, yesterday, he had to just stick out the bat and push one into right field to get himself on, but clearly not the same hitter he's been.
Right, and you know, the 5 days off that he had last week, he comes back on Friday and still looks pretty much as lost as he's been for all but basically 1 week of the season. You've got Dustin Pedroia coming off the disabled list on Friday, presuming there's no setback for him as he's resting over the All-Star break over the next couple days. And then you've got, you know, Holt has been playing second base. Maybe he moves to first base for Napoli. You're also playing in Anaheim, and if there's one team that ever gets Mike Napoli going, it's the Angels, and it's playing against Mike Socha, who he didn't always get along with when he was a member of the Anaheim Angels. So maybe you give him some starts in that four-game series in Anaheim, see if there's anything there. But I think we're at the point now where you're probably seeing less and less of Napoli on a regular basis and more of maybe Holt at first base once Pedroia is back in the lineup.
What's the latest on Clay Buchholz? It looks like no structural damage, and that's certainly good news. Will this be a short stay on the DL?
Well, it's Buchholz, so you can never say anything with certainty when it comes to the disabled list. There is no, you know, according to the MRI, there's nothing bad with the ligament, and that's, you know, the worst case scenario when he leaves the game with elbow tightness. Everyone's thinking of Tommy John surgery. That's out of the question here. The ligament is fine. But they just got to kind of wait for the tightness to die down. And however long that is, you know, Buchholz to be resting during that period, not picking up a baseball, however long that is, then he's got to, you know, double that until he's ready to come back. Because if he spends a week or two down, then he's got to use a week or two to kind of build his arm back up. So it could, you know, they're uncertain how long that initial rest period is. And once he picks up a baseball, we'll have a better idea of when his return might be. But of course, this isn't good timing for the Red Sox because they're kind of trying to decide where they are in the standings, whether they should be aggressive in the trade market in terms of buying or whether they should back off and maybe sell some pieces. Buchholz would have been one of those possible sellable assets. I don't think they would have gone that direction, but if the team blew them away, maybe he would have been moved. But now with him on the shelf, I doubt he's got the same value he had a week ago. So it's really bad timing for a team that was putting a good run together and for a pitcher who was putting a really good run together over the last couple months.
Tim Britton of the Providence Journal with us here on Downtown. So what's the rotation look like, Tim, when we come out of the break?
You know, it's unusual for a team to go into the All-Star break and not know who its starters will be coming out. You know, usually that's announced like a week before. We still don't know from a Red Sox perspective who's going to be starting that opening series in Anaheim. You know Rick Porcello's part of it. You know Wade Miley's part of it. You know Eduardo Rodriguez is part of that rotation. Then you've got Brian Johnson, who was called up on Saturday to take Buckholz's place. And the Red Sox haven't said he's part of the rotation, but it would be a pretty big shocker if he's not. And then that last spot probably comes down to either Justin Masterson, who's maybe run out of chances in the starting rotation. You know, he hasn't completed the fifth inning in four of his nine starts. Or it's Stephen Wright, who's still at AAA Pawtucket, a guy who's been fairly reliable when he's been asked to start at the major league level, and who had a nice start against the Angels back in May in Fenway. Maybe he's the fifth starter coming out of the break.
So 6.5 games out of first, a lot of teams to try and leapfrog over in the wild card race, and yet you look around the American League East, everybody falling apart. Toronto ends up under 500 for the first half. The Yankees, despite winning 2 out of 3, don't exactly look like world beaters out there. Do the Red Sox know yet if they're buyers or sellers?
I don't think they do. And I know Ben Cherington doesn't really like identifying with either side of that spectrum. You know, even when they were buyers in 2013, they did trade a major league asset in Jose Iglesias in the Jake Peavy deal. Even when they were sellers last year, they were looking to get back major league contributors like Yoenis Cespedes, Alan Craig, Joe Kelly. It's such a complicated position that they're in because, like you said, it's only 6.5 games, but there's only two teams in the American League they've got a better record than. You know, they'd be in last in the Central, too, but by a whole lot more. And you look at the American League East, and all of those teams ahead of them are flawed in fairly serious ways. You know, the Yankees have put a little separation between them and the Rays, Orioles, and Blue Jays, but it still does seem like, man, a good week or two, like the Red Sox had earlier, you know, gets you right back in the picture. You can cut 3-4 games off just like that. So it's really kind of you don't want to make a decision right now. You've got a couple weeks before the deadline to kind of determine, you know, how do the Red Sox do in that opening road trip in Anaheim and in Houston against, you know, teams above 500 right at the top of their division in the AL West. How do they do when they come home against the Tigers that last series basically before the trade deadline? Then you've got a clearer picture. You remember this time last year, they came out of the All-Star break, swept the Royals at home, looked like they were right back in it, and then had a disastrous road trip. I think it was Toronto and Tampa, and that's when they finally decided to sell, basically that final week of July. I think they're probably preparing contingencies for both right now, but I don't think they want to go in either direction just yet.
Well, and if they are buyers or if they're somewhere in the middle, the shopping list is not as simple as just another starting pitcher because that bullpen is in some trouble. We saw Ogando out there yesterday. He'd have pitched 15 innings if they'd let him yesterday the way they were going. They've got to find somebody to bridge the gap to Koji.
Yeah, I mean, that's the sad thing is you looked at that game yesterday and Junichi Tozawa wasn't going to pitch the ninth inning because he had thrown 31 pitches the night before. I don't know that there's a manager in baseball who would bring his closer into a ninth inning of a game when you're losing by two when he had pitched the night before the way Koji Uehara had. But outside of extending Ogando to an uncomfortable place, you know, he started that inning with, I think it was like 14 pitches, but as the inning goes on, he gets deeper into his pitch count. And we've seen this season when Ogando gets beyond, I think it's 25 pitches, then his results really seem to fall off a cliff. There's no one out there that the Red Sox could trust, you know, trailing by two. You know, a lot of times you're talking about, well, there's no one you can trust with a lead to keep the lead. They don't have a guy they can trust to preserve a deficit. So that's really a spot. You know, they signed Ronald Belisario reportedly yesterday. He's kind of like a wild card. See what happens with him. I don't even know if he's going to be on the major league roster right away. I think there's a couple different things they can try, but there's really no easy solution to that bullpen. You know, if they need to make a move, you've got to address the starting rotation if you're a buyer, and you've got to get maybe one or two bullpen arms to kind of add some depth down there.
Well, the story of this season, a long way from being completed one way or the other. Tim Britton of the Providence Journal. Tim, great talking with you as always. Enjoy the All-Star game, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Oh, you too, Rich. Thanks a lot.
4:30 here on Downtown Boston.